This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes, just like Jesus suffered for us, God will call on you to be uncomfortable or to suffer in your soul in order for somebody else to be brought into the kingdom, to be set free. We're never going to be used by God if we think everything's got to be comfortable for us all the time. Don't run away from things. Only leave when you know God's saying leave. When we stick with someone or something that we would prefer to run away from, we suffer in our souls. And I don't know about you, but I think real severe emotional pain is much worse than some kind of physical pain. I mean, I'd rather have a bad headache any day than a broken heart. I mean, at least when you got something going on in your flesh, you can maybe go get some medicine for it, but when it's in your soul, God's the only one that can take care of it. Amen. To be honest, I can't even imagine what Dave went through trying to stay married to me the first few years that we were married. And I mean, I know this sounds funny, but honestly, I was a mess. I was really a mess. And you know, there's a lot of funny stories connected with Dave and I had 5 dates and got married. Well, you know, that's not too bright, but I think we had to do it quick before he found out what I was like. I mean, there was no time there to waste. And the very night he met me, he said to God, that's the girl for me. So, I mean, it was really a divine thing for us. You know, I mean, really, it truly was. And God had him prepared. He was very spiritually strong, very mature. And he had him prepared to deal with me, this brokenhearted girl who did love God but had so many wounds in my soul. Well, I know that Dave was not comfortable a lot of those years, that it was hard. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, just like Jesus suffered for us, God will call on you to be uncomfortable or to suffer in your soul in order for somebody else to be brought into the kingdom, to be set free. We're never going to be used by God if we think everything's got to be comfortable for us all the time. Don't run away from things. Only leave when you know God's saying leave. The word suffer means to stay under. Stay under some things that maybe you'd prefer to get away from. Dave was a strong Christian, and I don't, you know, he didn't have divorcing me in his mind, but I know that it had to be very hard sometimes. But I want you to fast forward now 49 years. We've been married 49 years. And I want you to see what a fine wife he has now. I mean, just look what he would have missed if he would have given up on me. I told Dave the other day, because I am so feisty, I told Dave the other day, I said, Dave, if anything ever happened to me, you could never get married again, because if you married anybody normal, you would be bored to death. He said, no, you're right. I don't think anybody could top you, so. When we stick with someone or something that we would prefer to run away from, we suffer in our souls. To suffer means to finish your goal even though you experience adversity. You see, I'm big on finishing. It's not hard to start something. Everybody claps and cheers when you start. They think your ideas are great ideas. They don't plan to help you get them finished, but they think they're good ideas. But you're going to have to go through things. I don't care whether you start a business, whether you're raising a child, you want to get married, you want to have a good marriage, you want to get your home paid off, you want to be in ministry, whatever it is, you're going to get some opposition from Satan. A wide door of opportunity opened unto me, Paul said, and with it many adversaries. I think that we have to toughen up a little bit in the church today and not be so quick to run away from things. This is another whole series of messages, but I did a whole series of teachings on running. running away from stuff. And you know, there are several great stories in the Bible where people ran from things that were hard, and every single time they ran, they ended up in the wilderness. And then eventually, God made them go back and face the very thing that they ran from. It happened to Hagar, it happened to Moses. I mean, there's just so many people that the same thing happened to. They ran, they were miserable in the wilderness. God appears sometimes years later. He said to Moses, now go back to Egypt. He said to Hagar, now go back to your mistress and submit to her control. Well, how do you like that? Nobody likes that. I want you to go pop them upside the head, God, not make me go back and just put up with it. You all still okay out there? Well, why didn't God just make a world where there was no evil or suffering? Well, he did. Day one, Garden of Eden. Everything was great. It wasn't God that messed it up. Man messed it up. Well, and let's don't get mad at Adam and Eve. We would have done the same thing if we would have been there, and probably quicker than they did. God wanted us to love him. And in order for there to be love, there always has to be free choice. You can't have love without free choice. Don't ever expect anybody to love you that you try to control. Don't ever expect anybody to love you that you try to control. They'll just resent you. Even if you're successful in controlling them, they will resent you. So God gave man free choice. So when he gave us free choice, he knew there was the possibility of evil. That wasn't his will. He said, you've got all this. I'm only asking you not to do this one thing. Loads of freedom. There's only one thing that God doesn't want you to do. Because if you do that, it's not going to be good for you. Well, they did it anyway. And you know the story. It's not God's fault that there's wickedness and evil in the world. It's not his fault. Don't blame your problems on God. Now, half of the scriptures about suffering, half of them, which this is really good news, are all about God delivering us from suffering. Woo! See? Look how excited you got. I didn't get any woo when I said there's 175 scriptures about suffering. But when I said half of them are about God delivering you from suffering, woo, yeah, amen. However, not one of those says when. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. When? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. When? So why is it that sometimes we get ourselves in a mess? Because all suffering is caused by sin. It's either our sin, it's somebody else's sin. In my instance, it was my father's sin that caused my suffering. It was my mother's sin that caused my suffering. A great deal of our suffering comes from things that other people do. We'd like to think they're all unbelievers, but that's not even true. A lot of them are Christians, and that really stinks. Amen. And then there's just the sin principle at work in the world. And so there's just evil in the world. And you know, I've been thinking about this. How many of you can tell that wickedness and evil just seems worse than ever in the world today? I mean, it's hard for me to even believe in the number of years that I've been alive, how it is multiplying. But here's kind of what I've been thinking lately. I think the more time that goes by, the more wickedness and evil, the devil being behind all that, has a chance to work, and it just keeps multiplying and multiplying. And I believe, this is my opinion, I'm not starting a new doctrine, I believe that even a lot of the weird weather and the floods and the storms, I think a lot of it is the earth just groaning under the weight of sin. The Bible says that even the earth is waiting for the redemption of the sons of men, that the earth groans under the weight of sin. But here's what God's asking of us. We are the light of the world. And all God wants us to do is get out there in our little corner of it and shine. Amen? And part of that shining is not complaining. We learned that in the first service. Part of that is letting people know, and I'm not saying preach them a sermon, yeah, I'm going through a really hard time right now. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why this happened, but I trust God. Let people know you trust God. God is good, and I trust God. I believe that He'll work this out for my good. Let me tell you something. If we will get out in the world and start acting like Christians instead of acting like all the people that aren't Christians, they've got to be able to tell the difference between us and them. We got to show them something that they want. We're not going to impress anybody if we never have any problems. Jesus said, in the world, guess what? You will have tribulation. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. You know what? We've already read the end of the book. We know what's going to happen. Here's an interesting thought. You know, you don't have to win every single battle to win the war. We've already won the war. I don't win every single battle that I have, but even that I trust to God. And I know that He'll mix it all together and work it all together, and it's all going to work out good in the end. You know what? What I went through as a child was absolutely terrible, terrible, horrible. Every once in a while, my mind will drift back to some of the things that my dad did to me, and I just think, ugh. I remember how I hated him. Just, oh, how I hated him. And God gave me the grace to take care of him the last 10 years that he was alive and to lead him to Christ and to baptize him. Don't let the devil win. What kinds of things do Christians suffer? Well, first of all, the Bible says that we will be persecuted for being Christians. That means people are going to come against you. They're going to oppose you. We tried to look up some definitions during the break for the word persecution, and one of them said to be exterminated. And I thought that was interesting, you know, like you call out the exterminator to get rid of the bugs. Well, you know, Satan would love to exterminate us, and he uses persecution hoping to do it. Mark 4:17 says, and there are Christians who have no real root in themselves, so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and they fall away. These are the Christians who never grow up. They never get any iron in their soul. All they have is bitterness and resentment, and they're offended, and they don't understand. Why am I going through this? It's not fair. It's not right. 2 Timothy 3:12, I love this one. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and a godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. Now, let me tell you something. You can get out in the world and be a carnal Christian, and you won't get much opposition. In other words, you can behave like everybody else, go to church on Sunday, get out, behave like everybody else, go to church on Sunday, and you're not going to get a lot of opposition. But when you start taking a stand, when you start living a godly life, people are going to get convicted by your life, and they're not going to like it, so they're going to come against you. When God called me to teach the word, I was in a religious denomination that did not believe that a woman could do this. And I didn't know that. So I was kind of already doing it when they told me I couldn't. And I got asked to leave my church. I got what's called the left foot of fellowship. And Our whole life revolved around that church. I don't even know how to begin to tell you how hard that was for me. The pain that I had in my soul, because I just felt like I was just trying to do the right thing and obey God. Now all of a sudden I've lost almost all my friends. Family members turned. I mean, everybody thought that I had gone stark, raving mad. But you know what? I believe that sometimes God will use one person to blaze a trail for other people that are going to come behind. I think of the few women who ever really did anything great, Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman. When I started doing what I'm doing, there were a handful of women, but there was nothing compared to the army of women that God is using today. And so what if God causes you to be a trailblazer? You know, the first one who does anything, you can bet you're going to get opposition. Even people who created antibiotics, they got all kinds of opposition. The light bulb, anytime you try to do anything good, even stuff that's going to help people, the devil has a fit. You know why? Here's why. He despises progress. Any kind of progress. You join a weekly Bible study. Hey, you'll get some opposition from somewhere. Something will come along. I remember when I first started really dedicating myself to spending time with God every morning. I had kids by then that were a teenager. And every morning I would go up to my room and I didn't cook breakfast. I went to my room. I studied. I prayed. I sought God. And I remember one of my kids complained about one. Well, you know, can't you come out of that room once in a while? Can you come down here and make some breakfast? I said, listen, you better thank God I'm in this room. Your life is going to be a lot better if Mama goes to her room. It's going to be a lot better if I go to my room. You better say, Mom, stay in your room. I said, you are 15 years old. You can put cereal in a bowl and pour milk on it. You don't need me down there to wait on you. And you think the devil didn't yell in my ear? Well, what kind of a mother are you? You know, you travel, you this, you that, you something else. You're not a normal woman. Well, I heard that till I was just fed up with it. Well, you know what? I was not a normal mother, but I was a good mother. And I'm not a normal wife, but I'm a good wife. Come on, you got to get some iron in your soul. You got to fight back a little bit. When I first started going to the gym and working out, for 7 years I went to the gym 3 times a week, 10 o'clock every morning. I mean, it was a huge commitment, but I knew that God had told me I had to do that if I wanted to be strong for the last third of my journey. So I was really doing it in obedience to God. Well, now I've been at it for 11 years, and I have a trainer that comes to my house now, and it's easier. But I remember my son, who is the CEO of all of our media, and he's over all the stateside stuff. Our other son's over all the foreign stuff. And he wanted me to do something one day, and it was my morning to work out. And I said, no, I can't do that. He said, for crying out loud, is everybody going to have to work their whole life around your workout schedule? I said, yeah. Because I'm going to do it. I'm going to work out. And you know what? If you don't get determined about what you're going to do, somebody will take it away from you. Why? Why can't we do what we want to do sometimes? We don't always have to do what everybody else wants us to do. Why do I have to change my appointment for you? You change your appointment for me. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Oh, this is so good. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, there's no one who has given up and left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's who will not receive 100 times as much now in this lifetime. Hang on before you clap. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. Whoops. Oh, yeah, whatever you give up, God's going to bless your socks off, but it's going to come with persecution. You say, well, what's that? Let me tell you something. When you're successful and you're blessed, people that you would love to be excited for you are going to be jealous. It's hard when God does something to bless you and you'd love to be able to share it with somebody and you can't even find anybody that's going to be happy for you and not be jealous. And you know what I tell people? Don't ever want what somebody else has got if you don't want to do what they did to get it. Amen? Well, it must be nice for you. Oh. I love what the Apostle Paul said. From now on, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm excited. We suffer evil because of all the evil people in the world. We suffer loss of reputation, loss of friends, loss of jobs, home, money, different things. But whatever the devil takes, the Bible says clearly he's got to give it back seven times over. I mean, it kind of seems to me like when he takes something, he's putting us in a position for promotion. It's like, thank you. Now I'll get seven times that back. I mean, Job had a horrible mess, but in the end, he got back double everything that he gave up. The Bible says that when we suffer injustice, that God will give us double blessing for our former trouble. Double for your trouble. And I know that God has done that in my life. I can't work it out on paper, but I know my life is better because of what I went through than it would have been if I hadn't have. Like I said, I can't really work that out on paper, but how many of you know that some of the really hard things that you have gone through in life have actually turned out to be some of the best things that ever happened to you? Look at that. Look at that. What smart people you have here, Pastor Joel. They get it. My gosh, if you're that smart, then I don't have to come back. No, I'm kidding. I like it here. We have the privilege of trusting God. No matter what we're going through, we have the privilege of trusting God. All things work together for good. All things. All things work together. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That's who wants his will. And it doesn't say it in that verse, but it says it many other places, and who trust him. Put your trust in God. Don't ever blame God for the wickedness and the evil in the world. And try not to live your life saying, why, God, why? Replace a lot of that with what? God, I trust you. I know you're good, and I know this is going to work out right. Amen. Give God a big praise. Well, now I want you to remember that we can do anything that God gives us to do. But the one thing we cannot do is give up when it gets hard. Let's learn to say, God, I trust you, and I know it's all going to work out all right. Today we're offering you Wake Up to the Word. It's our new devotional for this year. We put a devotional out every year, and there's 365 little mini teachings in here that are really going to help you. Put the Word of God first place in your life every day, and you'll find that your life is going to go much better. Today we're offering you this for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We like to do that from time to time because we want to make sure that everybody can get this. And I know that you're going to do your best. You know, that's what I'm asking you to do. Do your best. Send in your best offering, and we'll send you this as a blessing to you. You know, when we start our day off with God, we're going to have a better day. So start with the Word.
Some mornings, everything just goes right. Others, not so much. But let's face it. How you wake up each morning has a tremendous impact on your day. That's why Joyce wants you to wake up to the Word. Today, we're offering Joyce's devotional, Wake Up to the Word, for your donation of any amount. Call right now, 1-800-727-9673, or visit joycemeyer.org.
Trust Him all the time. Your walk with God is not about everybody else. If you want to make the devil mad, get happy. He has to get the credit. He has to get the glory.
Well, you've spoken and picked your favorite Enjoying Everyday Life shows from 2017, and now we're going to reveal the winners. So watch every day to see your winners.
Dave, you have for a long time had a strong desire for God to open doors for us to be able to share Christ all over the world. But in particular, here in Europe is some place that he first put you in the military. And so it's been a real strong concern for you to be able to share Christ with everyone here. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the reasons is we're almost in every other country. And so, you know, I felt like there are areas over here in Europe where we're not on television. We're not on television in Italy. We're not on television in Spain, we're not on television in France. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, you know, we need to get on television in those places if we can. So we began to pray about it, you know, to see what God would do.
So internet's one of the areas here in France that we're really seeing God use.
Yeah. I believe that internet is the first step, and it's amazing what internet has done, what is happened as a result of internet in France. And so we're seeing that by the conference that we're doing right here in Paris, and the overwhelming response we're having as a result of internet, far more than we would have ever imagined. And so God is doing tremendous things here.
Any idea, so many years ago, when you were stationed here in France, correct? Part of the time in the military and also in Germany?
Yes, I was stationed in La Rochelle, France, which is on the west coast of France, for a year and a half, and in Germany for a year.
That you'd be back here today for something like this?
No idea. Of course, that was even before the ministry, so before I met Joyce, so no idea.
So now for God to be able to open these doors to share Him and seeing so many people's lives really being changed has to be a wonderful thrill for you.
It's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing. And, you know, each time He does something, we just stand kind of around with our mouths hanging open at what He's done. And so we're very thankful, very appreciative of what God has done, and We're excited because we know that this is just the tip of the iceberg of what He's going to do here. So,
we hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.